with Danielle Bile, the greatest lash specialist. What is your official title?
I guess you could say specialist, artist, specialist,
lash artist.
Many names.
And so lashes is something that has become very important to me. I never knew how much I needed lashes. So I just had my stylist. I sound so bougie right now. Lashes,
but awesome.
Stylist, all the things. I just had my stylist on, Kirby Ryan Style. Everyone needs to check her out for a wardrobe analysis. She'll like change your life. And I don't think caring about how you look, if you're not, I mean, there's a fine line with everything, but it really helps you feel a certain kind of way when you look a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
So like lashes, when I have lashes, I feel so confident because I don't have to wear makeup. I feel like I can just walk out and I feel great. The lashes feel long. It makes me feel empowered. It makes me feel the way I want to feel inside. And that could be called vanity. I mean, maybe it is. But it gives me confidence.
Yeah, we'll call it empowerment.
And so talk to me about that. Like, your job and how it is empowering and how like it is also vanity, but like I didn't even know this existed till I moved to Nashville and it was an option, but now I feel like the world has opened up and you can get lashes and all sorts of stuff in a lot of places now. But
yeah,
tell me about how you even get into it, how you walk that line with empowerment, all the things.
Yeah,
I start to dump lots of questions at
once. I mean, I think that the main thing for women these days is that anything that makes you feel better, do it. If it's lashes, if it's Botox, whatever it is, if it's making you feel good, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, as long as you're not hurting yourself, do it. And lashes are one of those things where you get them put on, you come see us, and then you wake up every day looking the same. You look awake. You don't have to do anything. You could roll out of bed and go do anything, and people don't, you know, you don't have to put anything else on. So I think
it's
lashes.
Actually maintenance.
It is.
Like, yeah. Low maintenance.
Yeah. I mean, you come see us every few weeks and you're good to go. You don't have to do anything else if you don't want to.
It sounds like so bougie, like I said, but really it allows you to live super low maintenance.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to wake up and worry about
putting on makeup. You don't have to wake up earlier because they're already done. You don't have to do the mascara routine where you're trying to scrub it off at night and somehow you still wake up with it completely under your eyes. You don't have to do any of that. You just skip it all.
Besides me. Hates taking makeup off.
Like, yeah.
I hate taking makeup off.
Yeah, an hour every few weeks compared to that extra half hour every day, you're saving time.
Truly.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's so many parts to who you are. And I've been coming to get lashes now for I think over 3 years.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, before either of us had babies.
Before then, yeah.
And I
Long
feel like
before.
Coming to Danielle is like going to the hair salon because I'm laying here on her bed. My eyes are closed, obviously, because she's doing lashes. And I'm here like every 2 to 3 weeks. And I'm here for like 30, anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. Yeah. Every like, let's just call it like two and a half, three weeks.
Yeah.
So you really get to know someone.
Yeah.
And we talk about everything. I like lay here and I feel like we cover everything. But yet we never look at each other.
Right.
Because my eyes are closed.
It's a chance to be vulnerable because you don't have to look at each other. You just get to say whatever you're feeling and let it go.
Do people just dump stuff on you?
They do. And
because they can't even see you. So it's like they're just talking to the air.
Yeah. They can't see us. We're basically therapists at this point. They can't see us. We're a no judgment zone. So you can say what you need to say. It's ideal.
Do you ever just like, are you just ever like rolling your eyes at someone and you're like, oh my gosh, shut up.
Not I don't want really to talk rolling to my eyes, but sometimes when people say stuff, it's kind of like, oh, okay. All right, we're friends now. We have to be friends now because you just said that.
So, you just told me way too much information.
Yeah, I just found out your whole life in an hour and we just met. But it's great. It's great. And then we just continue that relationship for years and it's like it starts so easily.
Do you know so much about so many people?
So many people. So many people. It's kind of great though. Just rolling it. Yeah, yeah. So many people. It's good. It's good. It's especially good when friends come in and one friend has already told you something that the other friend maybe hasn't shared yet,
uh-huh.
But you already know and you're just waiting for them to share. It's good.
Yeah, you're just waiting for that moment.
Yeah, you're just waiting.
So talk to me about how you got started because you're from
Indiana.
Yeah. And Florida. Not really.
Yeah, our family it's really funny because my husband's family too has moved to Florida. So we're split. But yeah, our families are basically in both and they're completely split. So my mom is still in Indiana, but that's where I grew up, small town Indiana.
Grew up with your husband Tanner in the same small town.
Yeah, I did.
And y'all started dating when you were how old?
Like 10. Our yearbook photos are next to each other.
Is your only kiss?
No, I dated other people in between. But
y'all had breakups.
Yeah, we had breakups in between, but
it wasn't solid since
no, not solid. There were like around 4 years or so where It was not, but.
So no one really stood a chance. When you start dating when you're 10, there's really no one.
Yeah, nobody really compares. And it's like everybody else just eventually gets really annoying and you're like, huh. And then there's that one person who you don't really seem to get annoyed with. And so nobody really, yeah. Luckily for him, no, I'm just kidding. He might say unluckily for him, but
no.
Yeah, it's pretty much just been him. Everybody else just, it's annoying. Yeah, but there have been other people in between.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So when did you get this very strong work ethic? Because something that I have noticed about you for these few years that I've been coming is you're always adding a business on. You're like always doing something. You're doing a renovation and you're doing it yourself. You're adding on a business. You're adding on a different like a section to your already thriving business. It's like, and you're a mom and you went through endometriosis and had a very long emotional journey, which we talked about, which I kind of want to tap into because yeah, a lot of sure. women struggle with that.
Yeah.
And how do you find time to do all this? And when did you get this insane work ethic?
It took time, honestly, but I think watching both of my parents do their own thing for
and
so long.
And your parents divorced at a young age?
Yeah, I was almost six when they divorced. So kind of just watching them split and still do their own thing and have thriving businesses. And my dad is the type of guy who, if he wants to do something, he's going to try it, no matter what it is. It's like, oh, I want to start this business, or oh, I want to go do this. And
it doesn't let all the like what ifs and
yeah
fear
like
and all
what if I
way.
Don't make any money, or what if it doesn't take off,
what if I don't fully know how to do this,
yeah, what what do I need to learn? Like, that's never been his thing. He's constantly like, oh, okay, I think I can do that, I'm gonna do it.
I admire people like that.
Yeah.
And does he just have tons of energy?
Tons of energy and tons of like, how did you learn that, or like, how did you perfect that type stuff.
He's just one of those.
Yeah, one of those, like, he tries it, he can do it. Like, when I was in high school, we started building a house, a family house, and it was like, okay, are you gonna have other people help you, you know? And he's like, no,
build the whole house.
Built the whole house by himself.
Did he have people come over and help him?
No.
But he had to have people like help him hold stuff.
No. So he constructed this lift out of wood and trusses and was like lifting trusses up by himself.
Like, what about like foundation and things like
that? Yeah, so that's the funny part, right? So like, we get a phone call from him and he's like, hey, let's go to lunch. And he calls myself and my youngest brother and he's like, let's go to lunch. My middle brother was in school at the time. And let's go to lunch. No, we get there and it's, hey, this concrete truck is almost here and I need help because it's going to dry faster than I can smooth it out. So like, here are these tools.
So y'all all lived in the house that he built? Were you scared it was going to fall through? I would be a little nervous that like, I hope it was a one story house.
No, it was a two story house.
Oh no, I don't know if I'd get on that second
yes,
story.
Yes, and I did live in that house because it ended up being finished while I had moved home after college. So.
Was your room upstairs?
It was. I lived in like this bonus area upstairs.
Were you
because I was
out?
Like 23 at this point and just being like, Dad, I'm coming to live with you because life.
Were you
no,
freaked out
never freaked out.
Floor was gonna yeah. fall in or something.
It was weird. Never freaked out.
Did it feel sturdy?
It did, yeah. And it was like, you've built this house.
This is insane.
Yeah,
he built a house.
He did,
and he's not at all like in construction.
That's kind of what he does.
Okay. Yeah. So he has a
yeah. That's kind of
here.
What he
okay,
does. But it's also one of those things where he does so many other things. So how do you perfect that?
So you kind of got this insane work ethic, hustle, drive, and I'm sure he doesn't deal with people coming up with excuses very well.
He doesn't. No, he's like, okay, change it. That's just my dad's thing. It's okay, change it.
I love that. So, okay, change it. It's not working. Okay,
yeah,
change it.
It's not changing.
So many
complaining's
times,
not going to help you.
Complaining's not going to help.
Yeah.
And so many times I feel like people get stuck in a rut and they think they can only do this one thing.
One thing.
This is the only one way that something can work out or go.
Yeah.
There are there's endless routes to get to the
like,
same destination. Or maybe you're not even supposed to go to this one destination you thought you were going to go to.
Right. Like, maybe that isn't where you were supposed to be. So you're not happy. So fix it.
I feel like you're really good at pivoting.
I try to be better at pivoting than I used to be. Before, if something would happen in my younger years and it was something that was out of my control, I would have a mini meltdown. And then over the years, I've kind of...
Like, it's over. Life's
yeah, you
over.
Feel like it's over. And then over the years, it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, okay, change it. Like, it's not working. We just have to change it. And I'm, you know, just like anyone else, I can get in that place where I'm stuck on something and I'm kind of dwelling on it. But within a day or two, it's like, okay, no. Like, you know, same thing. It's not working. Change it. You want to try something else? Do it. Like, who's it gonna hurt? You know.
Well, I feel like it's like when I first started getting to know you, we both were like on our baby journey. Mm-hmm. And I struggled to get pregnant for a year, and I had like a miscarriage, a chemical pregnancy, and it was so devastating and depressing, and you feel like everyone else can get pregnant and no one, yeah, and you, why can't you? And it's so hard, and yeah, it's just, it starts to really, it comes at you like bullets. Like, it really, mm-hmm, is so painful when you're longing for a child. Yeah.
Every doctor's appointment I went to where it would be like something else was bad news or let's try this, it was almost like defeat. And that was one of the most struggles, I think. One of the things I struggled the most with was the infertility journey. And just, you know, the whole time my husband and I had been married, it was like, okay, we want babies. And
you always think it's just going to happen so fast.
It's just going to happen because, you know, people accidentally have babies.
All the time, people accidentally.
And so then it's like, oh, okay, so it's not working. And then you go to the doctor and you think they're going to tell you like, oh, no, this is easy. And then it's not easy. And then another year passes and you struggle with, you know, seeing people around you getting pregnant and wanting to be joyful for them. But at the same time, it's always in your head, okay, why isn't this working for me?
And that's a very, very low, devastating feeling.
It is.
That, like, I you feel just, like unless you kind of have like experienced, yeah, it, you really don't know how awful that,
yeah,
really
and
feels.
People can say like, oh, just be patient. And that's like one of the worst things, I think, is, oh, it'll happen when it happens. And it's like, I get that. But, you know, if you've never experienced it, it's one of those things where it's just like you can't even explain like just how deep the devastation feels. And you feel almost like you failed, like your body is failing you. Like, okay, I can do anything else that I try to do. Why can't I do this? Mm-hmm. And
very humbling.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice slice of humble. So that was one of the biggest things I've ever really struggled with. And then coming to the realization, like, okay, this just might not work.
So is that what happened? You came to the realization? Because you had been to the fertility doctor.
I think it was just that.
Did you have surgeries done too? Or like lasers?
So we had switched fertility doctors. Actually, the year that I found out I was pregnant, that February we were switching fertility doctors. And that just so happened to be the month after we went on a vacation with our best friends and my business partner as well. To Hawaii, and we had switched her name. Yeah, so she's in Nashville, and we were switching from Brentwood to Nashville. And we had an appointment scheduled with her and met with her, and they did the ultrasound again, and they were like, okay, well, your tubes appear to be completely blocked. Like, we can obviously verify this with another treatment or check, but she's like, I really just think that's where we're at this point. Like, your tubes need to come out. They're not working.
So you want to cut your whole fallopian tube.
So she wanted to schedule me for surgery to have my tubes removed because she thought that it would be easier to go in for an IVF cycle if my tubes weren't in the way, because the way my endometriosis has caused some things to happen. She just thought it would be easier.
Okay.
And then we'd have more of a success rate.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, cool. Just another blow there. So that really means we're not doing it on our own. And at this point, it's been like basically 4 years, 5 years of this. So I'm like, okay, we'll schedule it. And then it was like within a week later, I was finding out that I was actually pregnant.
Why is it that always happens?
It was insane.
I feel like that always happens. Yeah. People say that all the time. It's like, because you guys had even thought about adoption. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
like you were really into moving on to next
we
options.
We were like, what are the next options? We knew we really wanted kids. Didn't. You know, adoption, great, think it's awesome, my mother-in-law is adopted, so that was always on the table for us too. And it was just kind of like, okay, where do we move forward? And then to find out I was pregnant was just kind of insane. I felt like I was like standing still in the middle of like, you know, everything just surrounding me, like just
moving
fast. I was just, yeah, still. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like,
how does that
sure
feel?
That's correct.
You know, I interviewed your interview's gonna come out after this one. I interviewed Lacey K. Booth, who's like was on American Idol. Mm-hmm. She's precious and adorable and so amazing. And we were talking about what it feels like to have dreams come true, because she's had so many dreams come true. And mm-hmm. like having a pregnancy and a healthy pregnancy and a baby, that is actually a huge dream for a lot of women and men, but women especially. Mm-hmm. What does that feel like when you have been walking this infertility line for so long and you feel hopeless mm-hmm. that you will be able to carry a baby and have a baby? And then you find out you're pregnant. Like, how do you feel?
Yeah. So it was basically mixed emotions, because I think that we were both just so excited, but I was so scared because nothing had ever worked. And I was so like, okay, what do I need to do to make sure that like he gets here? And so I was scared. And then, but at the same time, you're just so excited.
Are you scared to be too excited?
Yeah, you're almost scared to be too excited because you're like, okay, well, what if something happens? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, so many people that something has happened to. Oh, and so, so many people. It's just...
And no one is exempt from something happening.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, okay, I don't really want to build this up for myself because if something does happen, I feel like I'm just going to be completely crushed. Like, maybe not come back from it crushed. Mm-hmm. Like, so, but then as time went on, it was one of those things where we just got more and more excited. And it was like, oh, we get to do a nursery. Oh, okay. And then, you know, you actually, I went into labor 3 weeks early. So that was semi-scary, but I was also just so excited to meet him that I was like, I don't care, let's do this thing. And I just remember being like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do this thing. Let's get him here.
And talk to me about the moment when you met Koa, which I love his name, Koa. Tell me what that means, because you guys like love Hawaii. It's like a big part of who you are.
We love Hawaii, and mostly because Hawaii is how we got Koa in the first place. Oh, and so yeah, I tribute Hawaii every time.
Get crazy, just, getting that Hawaii mojo going on.
Yes, like I just, it's like I attribute Hawaii.
Sorry, that was disgusting.
It's just one of those things where it's like that happy place and just like going there and not being stressed.
Isn't that wonderful to have a place that you can think of, that you can go to? There's absolute peace and tranquility
it's just
enjoyment.
Pure joy for us because we went and everything there was so beautiful that it was one of the times in our life where we actually calmed down and just enjoyed. And then to know that Koa is kind of
a product of that
was like, oh, okay. So
what does Koa mean?
Koa, my husband and I were actually at a beach bar next to the hotel we were staying in because Taryn was obsessed with lava flows.
She's
my business partner. Yeah.
And Lash Out. Oh, everyone, this company is called Lash Out. That's where you come to get your amazing lashes.
Yes. So my business partner, Taryn, was obsessed with lava flows. So we were always at this little beach bar.
What is a lava flow?
I think it's pina colada and strawberry daiquiri, but I could be totally wrong.
That sounds like a great tipsy headache.
Yes. She loved them. So we were drinking those like basically the whole time. And
oh God. And that's the thing. When you're on a beach trip, you're just drinking the beach drinks. Yeah. You're in the sun. Life
you're like,
is good.
Oh, this frozen slush. This is awesome. And the name of the hotel, which I may butcher slightly, was the Halekoa. And it's a military hotel. So it's like home of the warrior. It's like brave warrior is what Koa means. And so then when we finally got pregnant and it had taken so long, we were like, okay, that is the name. Because we saw on this cup and I had taken a picture of it, Koa, and had put like a little heart around it and posted it to my story being like, oh, lava flows. But then the more we thought about it, we were like, Koa, that if, you know, we get lucky enough to actually have a child, that's his or her name.
Because it could totally go either.
Yeah, it's Koa. And so when we finally found out we were pregnant, my husband and I were both just like, it's Koa. It's cool.
And how great that he just symbolizes that feeling for you.
Yes.
You know, his name symbolizes that feeling.
Yeah, it's just pure joy. I feel like one of those people who, you know, you always hear when people have kids just how emotional they get all the time. But it's like, I'll just be watching TV randomly and in tears because I'm like, oh, you literally bit me. And it was great.
It was so cute.
It was so cute. Like, it's great. Like, everything he does, I feel like Tanner and I, my husband, we're just over the moon about it. And it's one of those things where you don't think it's ever going to happen, so when you get it, it's just, I have to cherish every single second of it.
I think that is a huge difference, because I felt the same way. I just, when Sunny came here, I was so thankful and grateful, and I knew how hard it was to have her.
Yeah.
Some people don't know how hard it is to get pregnant. Some people think every time you have sex, you're going to get pregnant.
Yeah, and it's just not accurate at all. Yeah, that just does not happen, unfortunately.
When you are on the other side of not getting pregnant every time you have sex, it's like very... Like we talked about, it's hard. It's a long journey. And then you get pregnant and then you have the baby and you're like, oh,
yeah.
It's like you can't actually believe it's happening.
Yeah, I can't. It's like we can't believe it's happening. And like everything he does, I'm like, oh. And it's like he just did that 5 minutes ago. But every time it's almost like I still have to be excited. And it's also like you just want them to know how loved they are and like how hard you fought for them.
How wanted they are.
Yeah, like I never want him to question that. So it's like one of those things where it's like I have to cheer you on for everything. Like, oh, you're pulling my pictures off the shelf. Great, buddy. You're moving. You're doing it.
I know. See, I'm coming to this point though where I've been the same as you. I've been like the biggest cheerleader. Yeah. Everything Sunny does is great. But now we're actually like entering into school and like you can't just grab every toy from everybody. And
right.
It's not really that cute anymore, actually. I have to learn how to parent you.
Yeah. Like We have this like console table with all these pictures on it, and I'm learning that, oh, my kid's mobile now, so the glass picture frame that's also mirrored is probably not something he should play with. But it's like, we tell him no and he's like heartbroken. He's like,
I know,
but I really wanted that.
And you're like, is it really that big of a deal? That's fine.
But I'm like, oh, it is glass. Good call, but you know.
I know.
It's hard.
Have you run into, and I don't know what your journey is, like having more kids or whatever, but like, so we got blessed with one, mm-hmm. both of us did.
Yeah.
And it was like such an, every second has just been so emotionally charged and love.
Yeah.
But now I'm at this place where it's like, everyone's like, oh, you're going to have baby number two. You're going to have baby number two. And like Michael and I have tried. Mm-hmm. We have like actively tried, not happening still. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting to this place where I'm like, I'm open to it, but do you feel pressure of, I don't know what y'all's plans are for baby number two, but like, of like, what if you only have an only child? Like, have you, that is now like a whole another conversation.
Yeah. So it is, it's weird because I have this like weird guilt line where when I was pregnant, even though I wanted to be pregnant so badly, I hated it. I was sick. It was not fun. But labor was so great and my doctor was so great that I'm like, oh, okay, I could do this again. Because going into it, I was like, one time, we're having one kid. And now that Ko is about to turn one, I'm like, oh, okay. So I could have like 10 more of you and be totally chill with it. So I don't know. We're in this weird place where it's like, okay, now.
Do you worry about fertility again?
Yes, I do. I definitely worry about fertility again. But I feel like at this point, we're just so thankful to have Koa that if it happens, cool.
Right.
If it doesn't, okay, we just have Koa and he's an only child.
Would you go through like fertility steps again?
No. That
for, and how do you know that you don't want to do that? Because I feel the same way. Like I'm open and I'm going to try everything I can. Yeah. But like, I know my line that I don't want to like go past, because I just know I don't emotionally want to go past that.
Yeah, my headspace at the time when we were trying infertility treatments was not good. Outwardly, I was okay. But my husband has dealt with many, many meltdowns. God love him. He was very patient. And nobody ever talks about the infertility side for them.
Oh, yeah. What is it like for your husband? Because you're an emotional wreck, I'm sure.
Yeah. And just him constantly trying to make sure I'm good. But it's like, I can't make sure he's good if I'm not good. So it was basically on him, like, constantly checking in on me.
Were you kind of
dealing with the meltdowns?
Were those meltdowns consistent for a while?
They were pretty consistent. And just being in such a funk where I just, like, don't want to do anything. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't care to, like, conversate. Like, they were rough. They were rough. So
was Tanner able to kind of like weather the storm pretty strongly?
Yeah, he did. He did not waver.
That's
all.
Amazing.
Yeah, he
understood what's happening.
He understood, super supportive, and just constantly was, you know, okay, well, if that doesn't work, this will work. Like, we have options. It's going to be fine. And if we never have a child, it's just us and we're chilling and we're doing everything we want to do and it's fine. Yeah.
Oh,
he's like, and it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. Like, been around each other for more than half our lives, so like, we go on a lot of vacations. If this doesn't work, it's cool. So he was great, but I don't think I'm willing to put myself back in that place where there's even a chance for like medical treatments to fail for me, because that mental place isn't somewhere I really want to live in. So
you'd rather just stay,
I'd rather stay in my little bubble. If it'll be
it'll happen on its own.
Yeah, exactly. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, cool.
And if it doesn't, are you cool with an only child?
I am. So my husband's siblings are much older than him. So for a lot of his childhood, they would be in college or, you know. So I feel like he knows the deal. Like, he can handle it. Like, I've got brothers, so I never really knew like the only child thing. But I feel like he can navigate Koa through that. But
I know that's my only fear for Sunny, is like, is she going to regret not having a sibling?
Right. Like, because you talk to people who are only children and you're like, oh, okay, so you kind of regret it a little bit, but you know, but they wish they had that bond, but at the same time,
like, there's a problem with every family dynamic.
Exactly.
Like, even if you have the best of intentions and your heart is so pure and you like love your kid or kids, mm-hmm. and like, every kid is gonna have problems.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, either way, you're gonna do fine, you're gonna do great, but we'll see.
Have you kind of settled into that mentality where you're just like, wherever life flows is where you flow? Because you have so much on your plate. Like, mm-hmm. and I want to get back to like one of my original questions is like, starting these businesses, having your drive, you started Lash Out, and then you keep adding more stuff onto it while you're walking this infertility journey, then having a baby, and then like expanding your business in the middle of COVID. It's just like, you have so much constantly going. So how do you juggle all of that?
I think maybe you said this to me once, but mentioned that I thrive in chaos.
I think I probably told you that.
Yeah. And I think that I do. I think that for myself, it's always what's pushing me to like be a little better than I was before.
Do you need a deadline?
I need a deadline. And am I going to be doing it right at the deadline?
So you want to be right. Why is it that you, what is it about at the end of the deadline that really gets you going?
I feel like that's my best work. I don't know what it is, but that's my best work. It's like when that pressure is really on me is when I'm like, okay, I can do this. It's like I need that like bit of a push sometimes. But I think I thrive with a lot going on because that's just how it's been for me for so long and wanting to do more. And kind of needing to do more and always just being like, okay, well, what can we do next? Like, what else can we build? What can we do? And I think, too, part of that drive for me is wanting to make sure that when Ko is going through his big moments, I can be present. So, like, do the work now. And
I love that. Do the work now.
Yeah, do the work now. Build your brand now because eventually I'm going to want to step back a little bit and be more present for Koa. And be there for all those moments that really matter. So
you're very forward thinking with your business. Like you're thinking about the big long-term picture and your goals.
Yeah, and like
company.
Where I want to be. Yeah, where I want to be, what I want to do. Ideally, where do I see myself? Because I don't feel like there is a limit as to how far you can push your business and push yourself. And
how do you get to that headspace where you feel limitless? Because you just feel like you can always keep adding?
I feel like you know, try it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least you tried it so you know, right? So, you know, with adding on stuff, it's like, okay, this might not work or it might take off and it might take a little bit to take off. But at least I know.
The money investment?
Yeah, I think there's always some worry in the money.
Because you go for stuff even when money investment is needed. You'll just kind of take that risk.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's scary for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's definitely scary. But I do feel like I've been several places in my life where you have money, you don't have money, and you always make it work. If I need to work more to like cover a venture that I want to take on, I'll do that.
So you don't set out and like worry about, oh my gosh, I'm investing this much money up front. And if it doesn't work, then I'll have to work these hours and do whatever. You're like, okay, how do you know when your gut feeling is on point? Because I think people, this is a good instinct. I always like to ask these kind of questions to entrepreneurs and people mm-hmm. like yourself. How do you know when your gut says, yes, we're going for this. This is the right move, even though there's a financial investment. Yeah. I'm going to have to work on the front end for it to have a payout on the back end. But I believe in this. Like, what does your gut feel like when it's a go?
I feel like I don't have that hesitation. I'm ready to just go full steam ahead. Whereas if it's something where it's like teetering on the line of, okay, this really might not work, I always have some like hesitation.
Okay, like resistance.
Some resistance to it. Or like I'll drag my feet in getting it done. So I feel like if I'm doing that, I'm probably not going to add that on. Because
can
if
you
I'm,
check that? Keep yourself in check with that now?
I can, yeah. In the beginning, it wasn't as easy to kind of know.
Learn internal guidance system.
Exactly. You kind of learn as you go. And when something feels resistant and you do it anyways.
That resistance,
yeah,
yes.
And you're like, oops, like that wasn't the best choice. Had to
I've
work
done
through that,
that so many times where I push through the resistance and I get deep into the project. And then all of a sudden my soul, spirit, guidance system, whatever, actually like takes me down to my knees.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like, stop.
Yeah, you actually start to crumble and you're like, okay.
So you can catch it early now.
Yeah, I feel like now it's to the point where I tend to catch it early. There are still some things where I'm like, I don't know about this one, but I'm not feeling that heavy resistance, so let's do it. Let's see how it goes. And this climate that we're living in after a whole year and whatever of uncertainty, it's like, okay, might as well. Like, because I've seen it can get pretty bad, but might as well give it a try. So at this point, just like adding stuff on that feels like it's going to work or feels like we can make it work, we're gonna try it. So
or if it's a good addition to what you already have going.
Yeah, if it's a good addition to what we already have going,
it adds value to it.
Yeah, it adds value. It adds team members that we can bring on and like, you know, have a working space with that because it's always good to collaborate and get fresh people, fresh ideas. So if it's something that seems to add value, even if it's just like with good communication and new teammates, we're gonna give it a try.
Okay, so speaking of new teammates, sometimes dealing with people is the hardest thing when dealing with a business. So how do you run a business and how do you keep communication flowing to where it's like a good working relationship?
Yeah, so when we started our business, we were kind of friends, so it worked out.
Taryn
and I were friends, so it kind of worked out. And
also working with a friend is kind of crazy, but maybe y'all are just like young enough and like,
yeah,
like ready, eager enough to go for it without really thinking about it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think like the great thing about Taryn and I is like we pretty much just tell each other like what we're feeling, what we think, and we're pretty much always on the same page, so it works.
And you're honest.
Yeah, we're honest. Like if we weren't on the same page, I feel like it would be really hard, but we're pretty much always kind of on the same page, so it works.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You have the
and
same
we
vision.
Have the same vision and ambition for our business. Like we want to grow, we want to do more. And we always want to be the best at what we do. So
y'all both have that mentality.
Yeah. So I think that's super helpful. Yeah. I definitely think that's part of why it
did
works.
Did you naturally fall into roles within the leadership positions? Like, did y'all both naturally just have things that you gravitated towards?
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, when it comes to, like, paperworky things, like, I thrive in that. Whereas, like, social medias, I'm, like, terrible. And I'm like, Taryn. Like,
oh,
and
so
she's
great
at it. Yeah, she does, like, all of our socials, and she's great at it. Whereas, like, I would be like, here's an emoji for the caption. Like, that's basically where it would, that's how it'd be if I had to do our socials. So,
which is Lash Out Nashville.
Yes.
Everyone, Lash Out, yes. Follow them.
Yeah. So
my God. Lashes make appearances on it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. We like to share. Yeah. Those socials, I would not do well there.
So y'all divide and conquer well. Yeah, and yeah. That's another key thing to having a great teammate too. Being on the same page, mm-hmm. having the same vision.
Yeah.
Not both of y'all doing the same things. Cause I feel like that's when things get like, if you're going to partner up and have a teammate, then you both need to be bringing all you have yeah. and like splitting tasks,
yeah.
you know, and trusting that the other one's doing their job
yeah.
and trusting that you're doing yours. Because
yeah. if socials were on me, it would just be such a failure.
No, you would probably be great.
Oh, no. It would literally be emoji captions. So yeah, I think it's just that we both thrive in specific areas of business. So it works. Like we both just have sides that we enjoy more than others. So it's really easy.
What happened when you guys were in the, just like y'all were kicking ass, like your business was overflowing, it was so busy, like y'all are for sure one of the top lashes, like, what do you call it, lash place, mm-hmm. like in Nashville, and then COVID hits, and then everyone immediately probably stops coming to some extent, and yeah. I think you had to shut down for a while because y'all have, it's like your hands touching someone's eyes and like yeah. your mouths are like inches away from each other.
Yeah, we had to shut down completely.
What do you do? And you just had a baby.
Well, I was pregnant.
Oh, you hadn't, did you have COA during the pandemic?
I had him in October, so we were already back at work by then, but I had found out I was pregnant basically almost a month to the day before we were forced to shut down. And I remember Taryn and I were texting and it came out like, oh, you have to shut down for 2 weeks. The mayor came out and said, you have to close for 2 weeks.
Like, okay,
non-essential businesses. Okay. Yeah, I remember us texting being like, okay, 2 weeks. Like, let's get everyone in today that we can if their appointments were this coming week. And then maybe that'll last them the 2 weeks and they'll be back on their schedule. And then it just kept going.
And going.
And going.
And what happens? Because you are bringing in a lot of income mm-hmm. in your... You and your husband both like are very supportive of each other and y'all yeah. both provide for
and
the family.
And my husband works in hospitality, so they weren't open either.
So what do you do? Y'all go from these very intense, both of y'all working in is this considered hospitality?
Or I would say it's like probably a version of that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're both people-oriented businesses, yeah. you know, client-oriented businesses. And now both of y'all are shut down like, and you're pregnant. I mean, is that terrifying?
It was very terrifying, but it was also like, oh, okay. So this is why everybody always convinces you that you need to save money. It was one of those things. And
it's
then,
like how our grandparents went through the Great Depression and they're yeah, always worried it's going to hit again.
Always going to hit again. Yeah. And then a lot of our clients were great and were like, can I buy gift cards? Can I do this? Like, how can I help? Like that kind of thing. So that was really great too. Just knowing that like, oh, okay, we can't do our job, but we still have that support from the community. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really great too. Yeah. And then my husband's company was amazing and immediately got them jobs that they could do from home doing telehealth. So their company like immediately was like, okay, like we can't be in, but we're going to get you this so that you have an income. So, I mean, it kind of just, as soon as it didn't work, it worked again. So
what is your takeaway about life and the flow of life? Because you starting at a young age, like your parents divorcing, you mm-hmm. finding your own way, learning to hustle, learning that things always are going to move and shake. You're not used to like, it's not like you're expecting things to stay the same all the time. Like, you know how to pivot, you know mm-hmm. how to make it work, you know how to try things. Like, that's been your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it had it ever hit as hard as like when the pandemic hit, or is it just like you're like, okay, I can navigate this, I can do this?
I don't think it has ever hit as hard as that, because my mindset was always, oh, okay, I'm going to try this, but I can just work a little harder and make up for me trying that if it doesn't work. So when the pandemic hit and somebody's actually telling you like, oh,
you can't work,
like you just can't.
Because you always are like, okay, let me find another way to work.
Yeah, let me find another way. So I think that was like the biggest wall that I really had to like navigate around. And it was like, okay, so I can't do that. Like, what can I do?
What did you come up with?
Well, to be honest, I kind of just basked in being pregnant and lounging on the couch while my husband was just upstairs working away doing telehealth. Because I'm like, oh, we can make that work. Like, we have this much savings and he's working and our insurance is covered, which is was my main concern. And we're all right. I can still get my Chick-fil-A every day.
So Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Chick-fil-A, the potatoes. That's how you thrive in pregnancy, I'm convinced. But
what did you learn in that downtime? Because you've never let yourself probably have that kind of downtime.
I haven't. And even since then, I really haven't. I mean, I went back to work so soon after having COA that I feel like that downtime was just kind of almost like a blessing for me as well as it was like a stressful situation. Because I feel like it allowed my body to do what it needed to do to get COA here. And with being so sick, it almost was just like, but you don't have to do anything today. There's nothing for you to do today. Mm. So just relax. Like,
and you could give yourself permission.
I could give myself permission to do it because somebody was actually telling me I couldn't, mm-hmm. which is pretty much what it takes. So just having that downtime where I finally said, okay, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm just going to chill.
And it's a big job.
It was good. It was good for me, I think. It was, you know, stressful, but also at the same time, I think I just needed something like that where it was like, okay, relax, mm-hmm. do your thing. You don't have to get up and be anywhere today. It's fine.
What would you tell women who are in the middle of endometriosis, who are in the middle of their journey and it's not, they're getting bad news. They're in the middle of the bad news with waiting for their baby. They're in the middle of feeling hopeless. Like, what do you want to, who are dying to become a mother and it's not happening and it feels like it never will. Mm-hmm. What do you want to tell those women? Because you have been there.
Yeah, I've definitely been there. And I don't think there's anything I can say to like help make it better, but just to know that how it's intended to be, it eventually will be. And the sooner you let go of what you think your life has to look like, the more peace you're going to find with yourself. Like, you know, no matter how you're a parent, you're still a parent. So you have a lot of options. And I think learning to say like, okay, I'm going to pivot this direction and that's still going to make me a parent. I'm still going to be a mom. I'm still going to be a dad. It just looks a little different
than what you thought.
Than what you thought,
and I think what we think isn't right anyway. That's just
and that's the destination
story.
Point, right? Like, yes, women dream of being pregnant and having a baby, but the end goal for you is just to be the parent and, you know, love something more than you love yourself. So I think as long as you're okay with realizing like it doesn't matter how I get there, I'm gonna get there. That's the biggest part. And when you really start to let go and just like find your peace and just your happiness, I think your body starts to function. Like, you know, you start to just let go of all the toxicity of, you know, oh, this isn't going to work. It's, you know, because I feel like you also draw in, you know, based on your mindset, a lot of, you know, what you're getting. So like if you can just, as hard as it is to stay positive, do the things that make you happy in a day. You know, only think about the things that make you happy and continue to dream about what you want.
I love that. Yeah, continue to dream about it.
Continue to dream
and
about
know,
it.
And continue to know that it will come to your life in some way.
In some way, it's going to come to you. So don't stop dreaming about it. Don't like you let your self-experience the happiness of being like, oh, for me, this is going to happen one day.
And even if you don't have a pregnancy and have it that way, and it's through adoption, if you can let go, like you're saying, it will flow into your life. Like the situation will flow into your
life.
Like
let go of the negativity, just focus on the positive, and that's what you're going to draw to yourself. You're going to draw in the positive vibes, positive thoughts, and that in itself is going to put you in so much of a better place mentally.
Yeah.
Because the suck, it really sucks. So,
and also, like, if you give it everything you got and try and you keep moving forward and try to stay positive and life takes you on a pivot or takes you down a different road, then if you've done everything that you know how to do, then that was the road that was meant for you. And these are the blessings that are meant for you.
Yeah.
And this was like how you were supposed to have your life unfold. And it's different than maybe what someone else's is. But like that was your journey and you're going to be blessed by that journey.
Right. Because how boring would it be if everybody was on the same one all the time?
Oh my God. And like the most interesting stories.
Yes.
Especially like I know this from interviewing people on my podcast. Every person I interview on my podcast has a pivoting story.
Yes. These are the stories people want to hear.
Because no one just like wakes up and connects the dots in a straight line and you're in from A to Z and there's no turmoil, there's no pain, there's no roadblocks, there's no
because how does anything ever feel so great if you don't experience anything so bad? And
the sooner you stop thinking that things are supposed to just always be how you dreamed them. Mm-hmm. Like, know that your dreams will come true, but like, it's going to come in its own way.
Its own route. It's going to get to you in its own way. And, you know, just know that it is coming. It just, it's going to be in its own way. Yeah. I think it's important.
Okay. So then one more topic I want to talk to you about, because you hit so many important topics that women are navigating. You are a working mother.
Yes.
And you have been a working mother since COA has been here. Like you said, You went back to work quickly. Like, I remember I was getting my lashes done with you and COA was like 3 weeks old or something, or 6 weeks. I don't know how it was weeks. He was in the weeks.
Well, yeah, weeks I came back to work. I think it was like 8 days after I had him. Yeah. So
talk to
I
me
wasn't,
about that and like how you decided how you wanted to work having him. And like, cause I feel like so many mothers, there's so much pressure because it's like, you are a woman who has a capability, who is strong, who has started businesses, who's capable to run them. And, but then all of a sudden you have a baby and it's like, oh my gosh, am I supposed to like quit everything? Or like, there's all of these giant, just like potholes that we have to navigate as working women.
Yeah. There are so many.
Who are mothers.
Yes. And there are so many judgments that get passed.
Yes. Everyone has a judgment.
So many judgments. But I think partially the pandemic kind of forced my hand into coming back to work, because it was like, okay, well, I kind of laid around for a couple months. Can't really do that much longer. And then also knowing that I didn't want to give up my business completely.
Well, you worked too hard for
this. Yeah, I still want to do it. And that's how I'm going to give my son the life that I want him to have. So I think it was just kind of like, I always knew that I was going to go back. That was never a question. But, and it's just recently, he's almost a year old now. And I'm just to the point where I'm like, okay, I need a better balance. I need to be home more.
And you were lucky though, because your husband works nights and you work days. So
yeah.
Tanner was able to stay with Kayla in the day. And you came home at night. But then did you ever feel jealous that you weren't getting to have the days?
So jealous.
Yes.
So jealous. It was like really weird for me in the beginning, because it's like, ugh, like you get that guilt where it's like, he's just gonna. And then obviously when they start talking, dad has like one of the first things they say. But in my head, I'm like, great. I feel like that scene
like,
from Friends.
Mom was just trying to work so hard for you to give you the life that
you
deserve.
Yes, like he's saying dada. And I feel like that scene from Friends when Ross is like, at least say secondary caregiver, like say something. That's how I felt. And I was just like waiting for the moment when he finally says mama. But it's like, I felt so bad. One, that I wasn't with him. But two, that I was like, is he going to like love me as much as he loves his dad? Because his dad gets like the awake time, like the good time. But I think it's good now, and we're finally finding that balance where I'm like, okay, I'm actually gonna be home more. I'm gonna work less.
And that's something that you've been working on, is because y'all came back to full capacity with all your clients and more, like back to how you were pre-pandemic.
Yes.
I mean, it took you a while to build it back, but now you're back, which is amazing. But now you're realizing that you want to find a little balance.
Yeah,
and that's also
balance.
Like, I think women need to know that too. Like, you can always adjust, like, and listen to your intuition again, like how you are guided by your gut. Like, I'm sure your gut is telling you, I want a different balance.
I just we took a trip to Hawaii with him, and it was so nice to have 10 uninterrupted days with him that it was like, okay, when we go home, I can only work these days, because I still need days like that where it's just uninterrupted time with him and my husband, because we never get to do anything during the day. So it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, I have to do this because I have a family, and where my priorities lie is just a little different now. And I want to see these fun moments with him now that he's like mobile and like starting to talk and crawl and all those things. Like, I don't want to miss those. So it's also rolling with the punches and being like, okay, I need to adjust, and I can adjust.
And sometimes that involves not working as much, maybe taking a little bit of like, you know, monetary cut here and there, but it's like, that's where priorities come in. It's like you, and that's where I feel like you have to stay so in check with your intuition and your inner guidance system, because your guidance system is telling you what you need.
It's like one of those things where it's like, okay, I actually, like, this is fine. I'm willing to get this to
work. Your life still is going to flow.
It's still going to flow. We're still going to be doing the same things. It's just, now I'm going to get to spend a little extra time with him and Tanner and kind of do what we want to do that normal people would do on the weekends when they're off, because
you work,
we
like
work
six,
weekends.
Do you work every day? Do you take Sunday off?
We take Sundays off. We're closed on Sundays.
But Danielle works from like 7 till 7 sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you work so hard and all with your hands. I'm like, are you going to, do you have to do stretches for your fingers?
I think in the beginning it was weird, but then it's like, they're almost just like immune to
do
it
they
now.
Cramp
they just
up?
Know what's going on.
Cause you're like over someone's eyes.
Yeah.
Like moving the tiniest little.
Yeah. They're worn in now. They're old gloves. They're worn in. They just know what the day's
going to
look like.
Do you have to think about the livelihood of your hands with everything you do?
Yeah. It was one of those weird things where it's like you're doing insurance and you're like, oh, I need to insure my hands because that is my life. Everything that I do is with my hands. So is that a thing? Do they insure body parts?
I mean, I think like Taylor Swift insured her legs or something.
Yeah.
For like $1 million.
Yeah. I think other celebrities have, you know, insured other parts of their bodies.
I mean, whatever your moneymaker is,
whatever,
you know?
Whatever it is, you have to insure it. So that is one of those things where it's like, okay, this is weird.
But so what's your advice to working mothers who, because you have a lot of great advice for people in the thick of it. What is your advice to someone who has a kid or kids and they're working and they need to work to provide for their families? And also, you want to be that example of where you are hard workers as a female, and like you're capable too, you know?
Yeah. And I never want to like put off the vibe that like I have it all figured out. So do not. But I think too, it's just trusting your gut. If something feels like you're doing it too much or you're missing too much, you probably are. So
your gut doesn't lie.
Yeah, it doesn't lie to you. If you feel like you're missing something, find a way to pivot and make that happen. Even if it's just like a couple extra hours a week, make the effort into finding that couple extra hours, you know, to make sure you're getting that time and kind of balancing everything, and take the time for yourself too. It's important.
It is so easy to put yourself on the back burner.
Yeah, it's very easy to just be like, oh, I don't have time for that for myself. But make sure you're taking a little bit of time, even if it's just like once or twice a month. Just take a little time for yourself and make sure that you are taking care of you too, because you can't take care of anyone else if you are not taken care of. So
it's so true.
Yeah, but definitely it's just, even if it's finding an extra hour a week to spend that time, and if that's what you're feeling, or if you feel like you want to work more, then do it. Like, don't feel guilty. Don't let somebody tell you how your idea of being a parent needs to go. Whatever you feel like is right probably is.
And we all have a different internal guidance system.
We do.
Telling us a different way to be. So, like, we can't sit around and pass judgment on everyone because they're doing stuff so different than me. Like,
right.
I hear you talk about all the stuff you're going on. And myself, I'm like, damn, that's amazing. But, like, I don't have it in me to, like, have all these plates in the air like you do. But, like, that's your guidance system telling you what works, you know?
That's just how that moment in time is going for myself. And I'm sure other people have even more than me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that works. And so it's like everyone knows when they need to add a plate, take a plate off. Take a step back, take a step forward.
Yeah, again, just because you've added something on doesn't mean you can't take it off.
Just stay in tune with your dance.
And you're in charge.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in charge. You do what you need to do to make yourself feel like you're in balance.
Okay, so then the last really big life question. You've obviously been with your husband, Tanner, for like ever, for like since you were 10.
Yeah.
What is your tip to people who want to have a long-lasting relationship that can withstand the test of time?
I think it's important to really not only like love and have your spouse as your spouse, but like be their friend. Like also, like you have to be friends, and like you have to want to spend that time with them. Whereas like, you know, some people that my clients are talking about, oh, I can't wait to get away from my husband today to go do this or go do that. And it's like, I'd rather just go do it with my husband. So it's like, I want to take him like everywhere with me. I want to do everything with him. And it's like, if I get time off, it's like, I just want to like be with him and do something. So for us, it's really just like, he's my best friend and I want to do everything with him all the time. So I think it's kind of just important to know like how your relationship thrives. If it's, you need some time for you, cool.
Once again, this goes back to like the knowing yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe your relationship.
Whereas like him, I'm like, no, you have to come with me. Like you have to do this with me.
Maybe some people, they need the time apart, and knowing that.
Yeah. Like I'm never sick of him. Like I always want to spend that extra time with him. So I think
that. Is he funny?
He's hilarious.
Funny goes a long way.
Funny goes a really long way.
You got to have some humor.
Yeah. Yeah. He is hilarious. And it's like, even if he makes me mad, like 2 seconds later, he's doing something to make me laugh so that I'm no longer mad.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I wish I had that, but I don't.
I don't have that either, like, but I appreciate that.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Whereas like, I'm like, I'm going to make him mad and I'm just going to stand there like I didn't do it and wait for him to crack the joke because I'm like,
but how great that he doesn't like crack the anger back, because then y'all would just be fighting all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Because you would hold your anger.
Yeah.
And then he would hold his anger, and then y'all be.
He would probably say my most stubborn, or my like worst trait is that I'm stubborn. And it's true, but it works.
But he's so funny.
Because he's so funny, and he's willing to give way more than I am.
That's nice.
He's not as stubborn as me.
See, look, that's knowing your strengths and weaknesses in a marriage and leaning into what works for you.
Exactly. He knows I'm stubborn, so.
And he's not mad at you for it.
No, but I think he is a little salty that I gave it to our kid. Yeah, cause he seems just as stubborn. So I don't know how that's going to go. But
well, maybe Ko is going to put it on you.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a taste of your own medicine.
It's going to be my karma.
It's going to be your karma.
It's going to be it. Uh-huh. Yeah, stubborn for all of these years, putting it on Tanner.
And then Tanner is going to be like, karma, yeah. look at you. Look at you
like,
now.
Ko's doing this again. You got it? And I'm like, I guess I have to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So. Parenthood, man. It really will teach you everything you never really thought you wanted to know.
It really does, man. It really does. Yeah. But as far as relationships, I think for us, our biggest thing is that, like, I just always want to be around him. So whether he wants to be around me or not, we just have that time where it's like, oh, okay, we're over
will
that
be
fight.
With me, you will love it, Tanner.
Yeah, you will.
You love to spend time.
Yeah,
with
your
me.
Wagon hitched to mine now. You're good. You're stuck on it. So I think love that. That's just the biggest thing for us, and the fact that he's patient with every little thing I want to do. Like,
God, he's a saint.
He really is. Yeah. He puts up with a lot.
Yeah,
I'm like, you want to go to Home Goods? Like, after we ran 50 other errands. There we are.
He just likes to do stuff.
Yeah. Begrudgingly, maybe, but.
Hey, but he does always cracking a joke at the end.
He does it. Like, you know, we're good.
I love that. I've loved chatting with you. This has been so fun. And to do like face-to-face convo has been really fun.
Yeah.
I always wrap up with leave your light. And it's basically, what do you want people to know? Very open-ended, whatever comes to mind.
I just think that for myself, I would probably say that whatever you want to do, you probably can, so you might as well try it. Yeah.
Reach.
Yeah, just give it a try.
Tony Robbins in the house.
Hey, should I write a book too?
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for joining me. Everyone check out Lash Out Nashville. Danielle Bile in the house. Okay. Now we're going to do lashes. Bye.